Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletail from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from New York is Parth Chanda. Parth is CEO of Lextegrity. And today we're going to be talking about technology, monitorships, a whole bunch of different topics. Parth, thanks for joining us. Let's start in with the fact that you were outside counsel on several monitorships, then inside counsel for two companies under investigation, and now work with companies that have faced investigations. Can you tell me about your experience in those varied roles?
Yeah, well, first off, thank you so much for having me on, Adam. So as you mentioned, and I'll just go through it pretty quickly, I've been a compliance lawyer for 20 years. I began my career as a white-collar litigator. I happened to end up on two DOJ monitorship teams right at the early days of the DOJ push for monitorships, which was a great experience. And I took that to then go into an in-house role, first at Avon and then another, my second one at Pfizer. And in both of those organizations, the company was under an active DOJ SEC investigation, and I had the remit of enhancing the compliance program in the shadow of that investigation. And then 7 years ago, I launched Lextegrity. We're a compliance data analytics and workflow company. Really a privilege and an honor to have a front row seat in front of these enforcement agencies to see how they're thinking, because their thinking evolves over time as well in terms of what an effective compliance program is. And I'm definitely excited to share more today with you.
Well, I want to talk about the technology part. You're obviously a believer in the power of technology for compliance programs as part of corporate resolutions. What have you seen enforcement authorities look for in terms of the technology when they're assessing a program?
That's a great question. So, I mean, first, I want to caveat that, you know, the reality is that most companies that I work with now and our team works with now, they're not under investigation and may never be under investigation. So, you know, but what I've seen from the enforcement agencies has really reinforced for me what good looks like in a compliance program. And really, in its simplest terms, the enforcement agencies want what every good compliance officer wants for their compliance program: to know and feel confident that it's actually effective in practice, you know, in its implementation or, you know, in the wild, that the compliance program is actually working. And it's not just theoretically working or effective in design. So, you know, what does that mean? That means you're preventing as much wrongdoing as you can, and then you're detecting any wrongdoing that invariably still might happen, and you're doing that as quickly as possible. And so for me, you know, that, and I think for the enforcement agencies that I've had firsthand experience with, I think that starts with a continuum. It starts with the basics, you know, at the front end, policies and training to educate and inform your employees, then systems and controls that really prevent them from engaging in wrongdoing and guide them in the right direction. And then for the small percentage of folks that may do the wrong thing on purpose or by accident, having some monitoring, auditing, and reporting channels, so a hotline, an audit program, and then hopefully some more advanced data analytics to detect any wrongdoing that might happen and detect it as quickly as possible. And, you know, from my view, technology has a role to play at every step in that continuum from the process and training to controls to monitoring.
Well, you know, you mentioned the whole issue of data and data analytics, and you know, which can be great not only for proving that your program's working if you're sitting across from a prosecutor, but in an ideal world, it and technology can help identify risks and gaps for a compliance program. How do you make that happen?
Yeah, I mean, I would tie it back to the overarching motivator for every compliance officer is ensuring that the compliance program that you're overseeing is actually effective. And, you know, there's a great quote from Ken Polite when he was the head of the criminal division. He's no longer there now, but about, you know, his standard in his mind for what an effective compliance program is. And I wanted to share that. You know, he said, you know, has your employee, and I quote, you know, been informed, trained, and empowered to choose right over wrong? Or if he makes the wrong choice, you have a system that immediately detects, remediates, disciplines, and then adapts to ensure that others do not follow suit. And I thought that was just a great summation of what technology can enable, in that it can help you on that front end of prevention, but then also help you on that back end of immediate detection or real-time detection, so you can find some find things, issues very quickly. So, you know, from things like training to third-party diligence and gifts and hospitality, all of those things, you know, technology can help, and you can go from basic technology to more powerful and predictive technology. And I'll give, you know, maybe a concrete example for a minute or so. You know, if you look at approvals of gifts and hospitality for government officials, which is a common risk area for, you know, global companies in particular, if you have a system where an employee free text types in the names of those officials and gets approval for each gift, you know, that's going to give you some value, but it's going to be somewhat limited. You're going to be looking at that approval for that one gift. And, you know, if you have given a gift to that government official in the past, or an employee has given a gift a week ago, your approver is not going to necessarily know that or see that, because, you know, you've just had two users type in those names. For all intents and purposes, it looks like two different people. But a better system could be one where you have stronger master data, where users search for that information, and then that ties those multiple gifts together, and you can even show the approvers how much that individual government official has received year to date. And so that can really help you, you know, using technology, help you identify a different risk, not just the risk of that one gift that's in front of you, but the risk that your aggregated giving to that individual over time has now become inappropriate. You know, this gift isn't inappropriate, but, you know, the pattern of giving has become inappropriate. And so, you know, that's an area where technology and analytics and data can really turbocharge something that's traditionally been pretty, you know, kind of basic and table stakes. And then obviously all the way on the other end of the spectrum is things like data analytics, where, you know, today you have hotlines, you have audits to detect things, and, you know, those things can be pretty reactive. There can be a long time lag between when the wrongdoing happens and when someone reports it, if they ever report it, or an audit finds it, if it picks it as a sample. So more advanced data analytics that are working real time can pull data from your systems, from your financial systems, your T&E systems, your vendor payment systems, your customer revenue distributor transaction systems, and can more easily help you find those problematic expenses, payments, distributor transactions, and risks in your data. And it kind of tie it all back to what, you know, Ken Polite had in mind when he talked about prevention and immediate detection being kind of the gold standard.
It sounds obviously tremendously promising. It's something that compliance teams would love to have, but, you know, there is always the reality of budgets and other considerations. How should compliance teams prioritize their improvements in technology?
Yeah, I mean, that's another great question and a really important one, because I've been a budget holder in a compliance program. And so, you know, my advice would be to really first align any gap assessments you've already done in terms of your program. And if you haven't done one, do a quick and dirty one to understand where the gaps are in that vision of you know, prevention and immediate detection. And then look at creating, again, a rough, quick and dirty, you know, 1 to 3 year roadmap of where you want to get. And so, you know, that may mean that you have some legacy tools already in place, that they're, you know, under contract for another 2 years. Maybe you never want to touch those because there's a huge change management burden, or, you know, you have an opportunity to take a better approach to some of those tools. Make sure you build in enough time to evaluate replacements to those legacy tools to make sure you have enough time before the contracts are up. And then in terms of analytics, you may not have analytics yet, or you may be doing some basic dashboarding and things like that. So first, I think, is to really get educated on what's possible to do. So data analytics means a lot of things to a lot of people. There's a lot of noise in the space about things that are possible and not possible. So, you know, really getting educated on what you can do and where, you know, really focusing on where you can add the most value to your program. And again, with that goal of having effective detection of wrongdoing, where you can add the most value for the lowest cost and in the shortest amount of time.
So once you have that prioritized, you know, you have a sense of what you want, let me ask a flip side question, is what should you not expect the technology to do for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, the technology is not going to remove human judgment around your risks and your response and your mitigation, nor should it ever. Technology can really help you identify those risks, those gaps. It can show you gray areas where you should be focusing, find you needles in your haystack of data that you might not otherwise be able to find with human resources. But then you are going to need those human resources, your legal folks, your compliance folks, and even your business and finance resources. They're going to be really best positioned to do the analysis of is what the technology is, the transactions and things that the technology is pointing me to, are those a true risk to our company? And if so, how do we mitigate them and monitor them going forward? And so if your human resources today, if those human resources are doing really, mundane work that can be automated, they're spending all their time sending emails, working in spreadsheets, running data queries, building dashboards, that's all low-hanging fruit to automate, to free those resources up, to really take the output of automation and analytics and do the much harder and frankly much more interesting work of diving into those risks and figuring out what it means for your program and then making adjustments to your program. So, as a compliance officer, it's exciting to me because I think that work is just much more interesting and much more impactful. And I think, folks on your team will find it, their work more fulfilling at the end of the day, having this technology as an assistant to their core skills, which are not creating dashboards, but are really thinking about risk and managing risk.
So, in the minute or two that we have left, how do you get management's approval for the investment in technology? What do you find works the most effectively?
Yeah, no, it's also a great question. So, first and foremost, I think these investments, they reduce the company's risk exposure, they make your program more effective, they can, do more with they can have your compliance program, enable your compliance program to accomplish more with the same amount of money. That being said, those arguments can sometimes be pretty nebulous to make to senior leadership, to your C-suite, to your board. So I think focusing on more concrete ROI points that are compelling personally to those business leaders, I've seen to be most effective. So one area is around investigations. Analytics tools can help you really speed up your investigations and close them out. So you're making the business case that investigations are going to take X percent less time at X percent less cost will also mean that for a business leader, whose team or folks under them may be under investigation, it'll allow you to close those and resolve those matters far faster and to give them answers quickly on the personnel changes that they might have to make. And so that's a real impactful, concrete benefit for those business leaders. Beyond that, once you have data analytics running, you can have risk insights down to the country level, down to the BU level, down to specific vendors in a country level. And that can really arm the business with risk information that, again, protects them personally. So, if they're doing business in a market, they don't know all the vendors and what they're doing in that market and what the risks might be. And if you can give them that really concrete data, that can really help them minimize their risk that, again, kind of comes back to their personal risk as a leader in that company. And then giving that same data to procurement, to the marketing team to see where you can reduce spend, potentially rationalize vendors, all while at the same time reducing risk. So, it could be a really big win for leadership to really understand where is marketing spending all of their money? Should they be spending this much money? Especially if it's exposing the company to this amount of risk. So, there's all sorts of ways that you can drive ROI. And I think one of the key things is sometimes it's not obvious how much ROI you're going to get. And so really phasing in the work can be helpful if you have a limited budget in particular. So do a pilot, launch analytics in a handful of markets and then get some quick wins that you can build off of to build that ROI for your business. So it's really a journey and starting with small steps is often the best way to start.
Yes, it often is, and it's often a fraught journey. Well, Parth, thank you so much for sharing these insights with us today. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.